to discuss the issue of why in Yahadus there's such an intense emphasis on Limud HaTorah. Why is Talmud Torah considered the greatest of all mitzvahs? And, you know, how does it differ maybe from any academic pursuit where we want knowledge in order to know how to perform the things that we have to perform? You know, if I want to become an electrician, do I have to have a knowledge of everything that's involved? Well, Talmud Torah is far greater than just the knowledge of how to perform the mitzvahs. So I'd like to try to discuss that from, you know, a number of different perspectives and try to see if we can't come out with some deeper understanding of this greatest of all mitzvahs. I think that the beginning, I guess, the beginning should really be that the realization that the Torah that we have is the Torah Hashem. Chazal referred to it as the blueprint of creation. Kodesh Baruch Hu, Chazal say, Histakol bo Eraisu bora Alma, created the world according to the blueprint of the Torah. Rather than the Torah reflecting the reality of the world reflects the design of the Torah. It's like blueprints, mamish blueprints. Histakol bo Eraisu bora Alma, he looked in the blueprint and he created the world according to this blueprint. So it has tremendous significance in terms of all of the wisdom, knowledge, and insight to everything that exists in this world, because everything exists in this world according to the plan from which it was formed and created, which is the Torah. What that means in real terms, in divine terms, in these abstract philosophical terms is harder to deal with, I don't know. But on a very simple level, the Torah represents the total knowledge and composite of everything that exists in creation, understanding it, how it works, why it works, what it's all about. It's all there because that's the world that exists. One of the examples that I always give is, and for those who may have heard this before, forgive me, but it's hard to come up with new stories. It's not hard. It's hard to remember new stories. You know, short-term memory is harder than long-term memory. But that's besides the point. That's my problem. But anyway, when we lived in Los Angeles once, we invited a family from across the street to join for the Seder. And there were two kids that were in the local day school. The family was not religious. You know, the kids didn't know that much, whatever. And for some reason, I asked the question, why did we have to go out of Mitzrayim at such speed? And this kid, his name is Chad, I remember. Chad and Trisha, those were the two kids. Anyway, that was, you know, Los Angeles in the early 80s, I guess, mid-80s. So Chad raises his hand and says, I know. He says, the reason we had to go out of Mitzrayim quickly was because we have to eat matzah on Pesach. And I saw his father's face fall. Because even his father, who was not a learned man by any means, maybe he read the Menashevitz matzah box or something, but he knew that the reason that we eat matzah on Pesach is because they went out of Mitzrayim b'chipozin speedily. Not that we have to go out of Mitzrayim speedily because we have to eat matzah. This poor Chad got it backwards. And I was trying to make him feel a little better, and the father also to feel a little better about having wasted so many thousands of dollars on his tuition in the local day school. So I told him, I said, you know, there was once a great rabbi. His name was Rabbi Rabbi Yosef Doiv Soloveitchik, the Beis Halevi, and he writes that yes, Chad was right. He says that the Torah is the blueprint of creation, and if in the Torah there is a mitzvah, and that mitzvah existed from before creation, that because of the Klal Yisrael goes out of Mitzrayim fast, they're going to eat matzah to remember it. Then they had to go out of Mitzrayim fast because there was predated to Mitzrayim a mitzvah that says you have to eat matzah to remember the chiposim. So there had to be the chiposim. History had to bow to a mitzvah in the Torah which says we're going to remember this event by eating matzah. Therefore that event had to take place. It's almost as if the script was already written. The script was there. It's all there. It just didn't, we didn't get to that chapter yet. But it was all there and it has to unfold according to the script. Maybe you could compare it, Lahavdil, like a movie. That I don't know what the movies are today, but the digital stuff. But it used to be they had frames. All the frames were there. And till you came to it, that frame didn't show yet. And this is really the reality of what the Torah is.
Isn't
so,
everything like
that?
What? Isn't everything like that?
Everything is like that. What do you mean?
So everything we do was created.
Yes. Yeah, but now wait, the question is that should bother us is then where's our free choice? That's something that's maybe beyond, that's what the Rambam says, it's a very difficult issue. Hashem's knowledge and having preordained everything did not limit our free choice because he knew it and it was known before because he knew what the free choice would be. How to explain that? That's a different discussion. We just have to deal with that. We have to leave that. It is something can be dealt with, but it's very deep and philosophical. But Lemaisa, that's what he says.
There is an answer to that?
What?
There is an answer?
Yeah, I mean, it isn't even such a question because since Hashem is not limited by time, so before and after is all the same thing to him. But what that exactly... What, yeah, what that exactly means is it's clear that if you're not limited by time, that it makes no difference if it happened before, if it happened later. But how it could be not limited by time, that's the part that gets a little rough. But let's leave that. So in the meantime, we're talking about literally the blueprint of creation. But we're talking about something much more than that too. Not only is this the blueprint based upon which the creation was fashioned, this is the purpose of creation. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world b'shvil Yisroel sheyisasku b'Torah, for the Klal Yisroel and anyone who joins the Klal Yisroel to be oisik b'Torah. So this oisik haTorah is literally the purpose of creation. Now, how is the oisik haTorah the purpose of creation? And the oisik haTorah the purpose of creation, not just on the simplest level of learning Kisser Shulchan Aruch to know how to do the mitzvahs, but Bishvil Yisroel she is asku b'Torah, the totality of Eisek HaTorah with the ultimate depth, with all the amelus, with spending a lifetime of learning Torah, Kol HaTorah Kula in its the fullest depth that's humanly possible. This is the purpose of creation. Okay, so now, good, that's very nice that's the purpose of creation, but like, what's the purpose of that? What's that supposed to accomplish, right? Okay, purpose of creation is to sit and learn Bishul Yisrael, Shias Askubatera. Very good. Is there a goal in that? Just the information. And then what? What happens? Just do it, and that's it. You know something? That should be enough, theoretically. But unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, but we're human, and we need sometimes a little bit more of something that talks to us about, so what? Therefore what? Okay, Yisrael Shiasasku Batur, to what goal? To what purpose? What's the purpose of that? So to that, we really have to understand one thing. Chazal tell us that the mitzvahs were given only kidei litzarif b'enes habriyos. Hashem wanted one thing. He wanted to purify mankind, to purify the midas, to take out all the impurities that exist in us, and to make us into these godly human beings. If we take out litzarif, if we take out all the impurities, like you take out the impurities from a metal, you take out all the impurities, you have this pure compass, pure metal, whatever it is, pure gold or pure something, same thing. The Torah, the mitzvahs, remove the impurities and allow us to become godly. Now, you might say, very nice. So now we understand that the world was created according to this blueprint. The purpose of the creation is b'shvil that we should study the blueprint. The benefit of studying the blueprint is human perfection. And now what? Well, your perfection is already in the realm that we could see, maybe, okay, good person, you know, but like, let's take it a step further. Well, I'd like to take it two steps further. Number one, human perfection is a tremendous state of human happiness. Because if the definition of happiness is feeling good about myself, and that we've discussed many times about the word osher, and that the root is yishur, validation, feeling good about yourself. If happiness is feeling good about myself, how could I feel better about myself than to feel godly? Right? Once somebody wrote a book, If You Were God, I think, you know, if I feel godly, so then I certainly feel good about myself. I am godly. I mean, like, can't get better than that. You know what I mean? Godly. Yes? What? Well, no, so to whatever degree that I could reach it, it's to that degree that I achieve this state of happiness. So it's a state of happiness. Very nice. But lemaisa, it goes even further. The Maseilas Yesharim tells us that we were created lis anegal Hashem. Hashem's design was that he should create a world where he should be mativ, where he will be able to bestow upon us the ultimate good. Constant, in-depth, I guess constant and in-depth, it's forever, all the time, for everyone, and the ultimate, not any compromised version of good. This was his purpose, this was the tachlis. Now to achieve this tachlis, he had to give us a Torah, and the Torah allows us to achieve greater levels of godliness, refining our character. With the greater levels of godliness, we become more worthy of his chesed that he wants to bestow upon us, which is that ultimate connection with him. And not only do we become more worthy, we become more capable because we have become godly. Okay, so this basically is the system, and it's the Torah that does it to us. So the purpose of creation, Hashem created the world to do chesed. Now he knew, I mentioned this the other day, that if we don't earn the chesed, we can't really appreciate it. It's not really ours. There's embarrassment, there's namadi kisufa. So we had a system of earning it. The Torah is that system of earning it and perfecting ourselves so we will be worthy of Hashem's ultimate connection to us, which is the ultimate chesed, the ultimate good feeling in this world and the next. As we discussed the other night, physical pleasures don't do it for us. Physical pleasures are over before you start. Physical pleasures are so limited. Physical pleasures send a message that I don't really feel good about myself, and I need to imbibe all this from the outside in order to get through the day. But when I have that connection with Hashem, that's the ultimate pleasure. And Hashem is doing, therefore, the ultimate hatova, the ultimate chesed, the ultimate giving good, because he has given us the system to perfect ourselves, to develop this refinement of character, to elevate ourselves to a state of godliness, and therefore to develop that connection with him in this world, and to be worthy of feeling it and experiencing it in this world, and achieving it for the ultimate, for the eternal world, forever and ever and ever, to be that dovuk b'Hashem, to be nene miziv hashchino, to be able to benefit from that closest to Hashem, which is the ultimate good, for which we have to earn in order to appreciate it, and which we have to be worthy or capable of it, and for that we need this godliness. And we discussed that about how two different people that are different, they can't relate. We have to be godly in order to relate to him, and that's what Limud HaTorah does. But Limud HaTorah does this in so many different ways, and it's so powerful. For example, imagine. Let's just start from the beginning. The Torah says, "V'ahavtes Hashem elokecha b'chol levav, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol moedecha." Fine. That's the depth of love that you're willing to sacrifice your life and your money, and no matter what Hashem does to us, we still love him, and we even use the Eitz Ahora in the Avodas Hashem. But then Rashi says, "Umahu ha'ahavo." What is this ahava? How can you analyze it exactly? Rashi says, Shemitoich kach you come to be makir Hashem u'mistabek bidrochov. The Torah is the expression of our relationship with Hashem. Avas Hashem is through limud haTorah, because we come to recognize Hashem. So the Torah, the system of refining our character, has a lot to do with the fact that when we study Torah, and we study it in depth, and we study it with amelus, and we study it with asmoda, and we study it with commitment, and we study it with consistency, and we study it with mastery, what we are doing is we're coming to recognize Hashem. In a sense, it's almost Hashem's biography and philosophy of life. What is his value system? What's important? What's right? What's wrong? We live in a world that has so little values. I don't know if it has any left even. And here we have the values of the Creator, the values for which the world was created, the values which were implanted in the creation as the ultimate good. And we have access to it through the Torah. So when we're learning, we're not only refining the character in a sense of a spiritual sense, that just we're learning the Torah Hashem, but we're learning the concepts, the values, the Bein Olam L'Chaveroi, and even the Bein Olam L'Mokim. The Bein Olam L'Mokim, Avraham Avinu said that he was afraid that they would take his wife because Rak En Yiras Elokim B'Mokim Hazeh. Without Yiras Elokim, there's no Bein Olam L'Chaveroi. So we need the Bein Olam L'Chaveroi, we need the Bein Olam L'Mokim, and all of this works to connect us to Hashem and to understand what He's all about. And we also know that understanding is not just intellectual. Unless there's action, the intellectual doesn't take on that real meaning. So if we want to learn, we have to learn al menas lasos. And when we learn al menas lasos, then we mishabit ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we elevate ourselves and our character to higher and higher levels of human perfection. And the truth of the matter is that just the fact, nothing else, even if nothing else, just the fact that I come into the Beis Medrash in the morning and I sit down and I spend time trying to understand to the best of my capability the divine truth, I am pursuing a relationship. If I might suggest, it's almost like a dating process. And people date and they try to get to know the individual, to know each other better, and to be able to connect. It's through the knowledge, and if the knowledge is something that appeals to me, then we connect better, and then we connect and a relationship is forged. And I'm pursuing Hashem. I'm pursuing that connection. I want to get His insight, His opinion about every issue of life. And by doing it, besides the issue, I send myself a message that my goal is connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when I start in the morning with Birchas HaTorah, and I appreciate what this Torah is, it's a gift, it's a privilege, it's not a burden. Shows us from all the nations, and gave us His Torah. And He continues, Baruch Hashem, Noisein, He continues to give it to us. As we learn, He continues to shower us with insight. Because most of the insights, the in-depth insights that we come to, we couldn't on our own. The mind of a Yelud Isha couldn't reach that level unless Hashem gifted it to us. Unless He gave it to us. Ki Hashem yitein chochmo mipiv da'as usmuna. So we're constantly connecting with Him through this process of trying to understand deeper and deeper and deeper the truth of Torah. Now, one of the things, and I think that's something that you people should be very proud of, is that you're engaged, you're involved in a system which is attempting to guide you into the ability to learn and discover the truths of Torah on your own. Without the need, eventually, of outside help. I have the tools, I have the insights, I have the mechanisms, I understand the mechanics, I understand the language, I understand the sequence, I understand all of the systems that are involved in understanding the Torah. And now I can search for that emes myself, and I could spend my life in the pursuit of emes, which means in the pursuit of an ever-deepening connection to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which ultimately is the greatest pleasure, the greatest source of strength, the greatest entitlement to continue that relationship in the future forever and ever and ever and ever. And it's the most uplifting feeling that I have the ability to connect with Hashem, to understand Hashem, to open up all the sources of information that we have in the Torah Shebaal Peh and to analyze them and to understand what they're talking about to the best of my ability. And in that way, I connect deeper and deeper and deeper to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's really where our strength comes from. If we had any picture of the extent of Mesiras Nefesh that has gone on in the Klal Yisrael for learning Torah, people who came from Russia, they tell us stories about what went on in the cellars, in the basements, in hiding, and that was just in the previous generation, just learning against all odds, when if they would have been found out, and there were informants that the KGB had all over the place, and if they caught you, they'd send you to the gulag, or I don't know what they would do with you, had people yet sacrificed their lives just to be able to continue learning, because they sense that this is my connection to my God. Actions are a piece of the connection. Actions are, in the concept in the Yerushalmi, are what make my learning more meaningful, because I'm learning on Amanas Lasois. Actions are forms of each individual action focusing on another level of human perfection that the Torah gives me. But the learning itself, that's the ultimate connection. That's the total connection. When I say, Vayadaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, and I see what Hashem told Moshe to do, and I accept upon myself that this is the way I have to live my life, I've connected to Hashem with such a passion, with such a power, with such an intensity, that there's nothing in the world that can compete with that. And that's where our strength has come from too. The strength to stand up, against the world, to stand up and not be daunted and not be threatened and not be afraid of everything that they pose against us and what they're trying to do to us. Right now in Eretz Yisrael, there are big problems going on. Educational system is being threatened. But people who have that deep-rooted commitment to Torah, that they know that this is our source of strength, as the Moshe the Gemara gives by Rabbi Akiva teaching Torah when the Romans made the Gzeira that you weren't allowed to do it. So Popis Ben Yehuda comes and says to him, they're going to kill you. So he says to him, I'll give you a Moshe. He says, there was a fox standing on the bank of a river, and the fish he sees are running away from the fisherman's net, back and forth trying to get away from the nets. So the fox says, I got a good idea for you guys. Come, let's live on, why don't you come live on land and we'll live together on dry land. And the fish answer him back and say, fox, you're supposed to be the wisest of all animals. He says, if in our natural habitat, where we have the source of our life, we're afraid for our lives, how much more so if we're out of our source of life? No oxygen, no, they can only live in the water, they draw oxygen from the water. How do you expect us to live? What are you talking about? And Rabbi Akiva said, that's the same thing. He says, hey, if there are dangers out there, he says, then we can't stop the learning, because without the learning, we have no life. The dangers are threatening our lives. But without the learning, we've ended our life. Ki hem chayenu v'orech yomeinu. This is life itself. What is life? What are we doing here in this world? We're here for a purpose. We're not here by accident. If we're here by accident, then I don't know, there's taka, no purpose, there's no meaning, there's no life, there's no happiness, there's nothing. And it's also ridiculous, because this couldn't happen by accident. Just impossible. Impossible, all that, everything. And as science discovers more and more, every day they come up with new discoveries of how many cities are existing in one little cell. Cities, the equivalent of massive cities, they once said, of all of Manhattan, with all of its skyscrapers, with all of its underground trains, with all of its bridges, with everything. In one cell, there's more complex operation than in all of the borough of Manhattan, of New York City. Beinishlag, what is that? Oh, all that is an accident. It happened. It evolved that way. Anything, if you just look histakel, if you're mistakel in the Bria, you can't help but being overwhelmed that this is the reality. And if this is the reality, there's a creation. So what is it all about? But if I have that sense of this, I have mission, I have purpose, I have Torah, I have the directives for life, I have the formula to understand the purpose of creation, I can stand up against the world, not afraid of anything. There's nothing you can do to me. I have truth. In fact, that's what Chazal say, Misinai yotza sina lo'ilam. The hatred to the Jews started from Sinai, because Sinai was where the Torah was given to us, and Klal Yisrael now had something, the access to the purpose of creation, to the blueprint of creation, to the secrets of creation, to the formula and the manual to live the good life, to be zeicha, to permanent, eternal happiness in this world and the next, dveikus b'Hashem, oineg, pleasure of the highest order in this world and eternally. Why wouldn't they be jealous? Everybody should be jealous. Oh, everybody would want that. And we have it. And unfortunately, we have it sometimes and we don't appreciate it. What can we do to appreciate it more? So to think about some of these thoughts, we could it certainly would help to appreciate. But I want to suggest that there are two other things that can help us to appreciate. Now first, I want to start by telling you a story that I use sometimes in waking up some people in the morning. Some very exceptional people, some very brilliant people, some very capable people. And you know, when you have to wake up someone in the morning, the trick is to engage them in conversation. Just keep talking and try to get them to talk, because then you wake them up, then already, you know, okay, what's the point? I can't fall asleep anymore, so I gotta get up. So I sometimes tell this story. The story goes that on Sukkot, the first day of Sukkot, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik used to be a younger man learning in the Kollel in Voloshin, and he came to the Netziv every right before Hallel to make a bracha on his Esrog. You know, he figured that the Netziv must have the best Esrog, so he wants to make sure that he makes his bracha on the best Esrog. Fine. One Sukkot, he didn't show up. And the Netziv had such a great reverence for Reb Chaim. He was a young man then, but he waited and waited and waited. Reb Chaim didn't show up. So the Netziv chapped what must be going on. He says it was a Shemitah year, and he must have had some pickbook about using the Esrog of Shemitah, because it was brought from Eretz Yisrael. You're not supposed to repair it. Eretz Yisrael, the Chutz Laretz, whatever. All kinds of halachic discussions. So he sets about studying the sugya, the Netziv, to see if he could prove to Reb Chaim that he's wrong, that you're allowed to use this Esrog. This happened after davening, whatever, maybe a Suda. At 4 o'clock in the morning, the Netziv finally was able to prove to Reb Chaim, and I guess you gotta be pretty sharp to prove to Reb Chaim, you know, no easy pushover. And he, at 4 o'clock in the morning, he came to the conclusion that he had the information he needs, he'll be able to convince Reb Chaim. So he sends a shliach to tell Reb Chaim to come immediately. And Reb Chaim comes running, the Netziv wants to see him, fine. And he starts to talk to him and learning. So he says, wait one second, I didn't say Birchas HaTorah. And then Netziv starts to cry. What's he crying about? Bitter tears. He says, a young man, a Kollel Avrich, who is destined to enlighten the generation. At 4 o'clock in the morning, he still hasn't said Birchas HaTorah. That's a tragedy. I don't see anybody smiling over here. Okay, at 7 o'clock in the morning, you know. But that's it. That's the Chashivas HaTorah. What do you mean? By 4 o'clock in the morning, you weren't up learning already? You didn't say Birchas HaTorah? Okay, let's take the extreme. Reb Baruch Ber used to say that if he didn't cry when he said Avo Rabo, that day he couldn't be Mechadish anything in learning. So I think it's very important to pay attention to these words, to the Birchas HaTorah, what we say, and to the Avo Rabo, which is a form of Birchas HaTorah, and which is which it really describes what this gift of Torah is. It starts by saying, Avo Rabo Avtonu Hashem Elokeinu. You loved us, this abundant love. What are we referring to? We're referring to the next line that says, Vatalamdeim Chukei Chaim. You taught us the Torah. If we could stop to think that this Torah that we have, not only is it not a burden, but a privilege, not only is it the opportunity to achieve the ultimate refinement of human character, the ultimate perfection, not only is it the means to then connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in an eternal and an uplifting and a comforting and a strengthening and an inspiring and an impassioned bond that starts here and lasts forevermore. But it's even more than that. It's the expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love to Klal Yisrael. He gave us the Torah, didn't give it to anybody else. But not only that, worse than that, worse than anything, he gave it up. He no longer is in control of the Torah. That's an amazing thing. The Gemara says that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like a boss of Adam. It says, a boss of Adam, when he sells something, so it says, the recipient has a product, and the seller has money, so they're both happy. Or maybe the seller has the money, but he doesn't have his product, so he's unhappy. I think maybe that's what it says. He doesn't have the product. He got money, but he doesn't have the product. He gave it away. He says, "Not so HaKadosh Baruch Hu." He gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael, and he still rejoices. From the comparison in the Gemara, you see that his giving it to Klal Yisrael is compared to the person who sells something and doesn't have it anymore. That means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have it anymore.
Neither does the buyer.
What?
The buyer doesn't have his money.
That's true, but that's the comparison. He doesn't. Well, he doesn't. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need your money, but he doesn't have it. And the truth is, that's the lashon that the Torah uses when the Torah says that. That the kavona and birchas haTorah is that you should think that he chose us from all the nations, that he brought us to Har Sinai, and he gave us his Torah, which was kleichem. How do you call it? The first one, which is I forgot the first thing he says. Kleichem dosoi, the object of his desire. Shehoyo mishtashei abo b'chol yoyim. What does that mean? Anybody know any Hebrew language? Shehoyo Mishtashei abo b'chol yom. Is that present tense? Past tense. He used to delight in it. What does he do now? He can't even delight in it. I don't know what that means. Maybe because he can't paskin the halacha. We know that the halacha is, if a bezdin decides a halacha, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and a baskel comes out and says, sorry guys, made a mistake. Ey mashkichem a baskel, loy bashamayim hi. He rescinded his right. He wants to judge his world on Rosh Hashanah, the Medrash says. But if the Bez Nagodol and Elishka Sagosis didn't accept the Eidus HaChodesh, he can't judge his world until tomorrow. So Amaisa Shehoya, the Medrash brings. That's, he gave it away. It's Avor Abo Avtonu. What could be a greater expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love to Klal Yisrael than he gave us the Torah and rescinded the rights of control? He gives us the wisdom to understand it. But ultimately, the psak comes from the bezdin, comes from Klal Yisrael. And he does not have that right to override that psak. He has his ways of, you know, he makes things work the way he wants them to work. But he does not have that. The right of psak halocha, the right of deciding a halocha in Torah, that he gave to Klal Yisrael. That's what he means. He gave us the Torah. He used to be Mishtasheya. Now he doesn't have that privilege. It isn't his anymore. It's as if, like in the Moshul, like he sold it, like he gave it away. He has nothing left of it. And it's the most amazing expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us. And then we ask him, Ovinu, Ov, Horachamon, Hamerachim, Rachim Aleinu. We use five Lashonis there of Rachmonis. What's the biggest Rachmonis? The biggest Rachmonis in the world is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to teach us the Torah, and we're not ready to accept it. Why do we ask him there? The same Bilibeinu, Lahovinu, Lahaskil. Put in our hearts the ability to understand. and to concentrate and to sit and to get rid of the ADDs and all the other things like that. Lilmud lami lishma has to say, Lilmud lami lishma v'lasu l'kayim has called direi samutu rasecho v'yavu. It's mamish. We beg Hashem with every lotion of rachamim, five bakoshes rachamim. It's the worst tragedy in the world that Hashem is ready to teach us the Torah and we're not capable of sitting and learning. It's such a privilege. It's such an expression of His love. And when we feel this chashivus haTorah, when we feel that chashivus haTorah, that's what gives us the ability to sit, to learn, to be omel baTorah. And I just think that, you know, unfortunately today, even though there is a lot of learning going on in the world, and there's, you know, definitely, there was a discussion that someone had with some group that was very much into getting people to master the whole Torah in a very short period of time. There are a number of things out there that attempt or represent themselves that this is what they're doing, the whole Torah. And they made some type of a radical statement that never in Jewish history has there been such a group of so many Talmid Chachomim that had such a mastery on the whole Torah, on the whole Shas. So an individual was asking them certain questions and said, what about the Balei Tosfos? Said, well, the Balei Tosfos, no. So this person said, no, the Balei Tosfos says each one was an expert in one Masechta. Now, do you think that means that he didn't learn the other Masechtas? That he didn't know the other Masechtas? They didn't know the other Masechtas better than anybody alive today? And maybe in the last, I don't know, other than the Vilna Gaon in the last 700-800 years? But, of course they knew all the Masechtas then. They had the super expertise on, like, the Mumche of Mumchim, In their specific Masech. You see the Ri and the Rabbeinu Tam and all Masech, you know, there's no such thing anyway, it's Tamatos. But then this guy said something very nice. He says, and I'll tell you the truth, if the Balei Tosfos were not masters of Kol HaTorah Kula, that what makes you think that this is such a mila to promote today? If the Balei Tosfos couldn't do it, so now you're bragging that today we're doing it? if they didn't do it, there must have been a reason. they were more capable than we are today. You want to tell me we're more capable than they are today? And it's today, we live in a world where the Torah is munachas b'keren zovis. The amount of learning is phenomenal. The depth of learning falls short. The emphasis on the depth of learning. The concept of Torah being more than just delivering bundles and bundles, packages and packages, tons and tons of information. Which, by the way, if we really didn't agonize in the developing process of how to get to this information, the chances of remembering it are very slight. And even if you have a photographic memory, all a photographic memory memorizes is the photograph, the page, the way it looks. But photographs do not give us the words that are written in between the lines. You don't see that in any photographs. All you see is the lines. So I have the words, but the depth, the meaning. That's a melus, that struggle, that sweat and toil and tears. And the Rosh Yeshiva's father used to say, when he would prepare a pilpul shiur, he says, when did he know he had a shiur? He said he would sit up all night in the cold tenement houses in Williamsburg or the attic in Slabotka, wherever it may be. And he says, when did he know he had a shiur? When he felt the sweat dripping down his back. He says, that was then he knew he had something. It was with Amelus, it was with, and that's what it is. This is the Teres like Hashem.
That?
What?
Why does that have to be like that? Like, the whole struggle, why can it be like a pleasant time?
No, that's pleasant. when you're sweating, it's not, listen, you sweat in the gym, and if you want to work out, and if you want to really grow, that's pleasant. When you take that shower, that sweat is not that. You want to get rid of it, you know. You want it, you don't want it to carry it with you. Especially the people around you don't want you to carry it with you. But lamaisa for you, that's wow. That means that's a sign you accomplished, right? Everybody knows a workout has to be. If you don't sweat, you didn't get a workout. That's what it is. It's the same concept. That's what real, true amelus is. And when it's amelus hatera, and amelus hatera has another mila. Onu amelim behem amelim. Onu amelim umakablim scha, behem amelim behem umakablim scha. What do you mean? Everybody gets paid. No, we get paid for the amelus, even if we don't achieve the goal. That amelus is so beneficial, is so sweet, is so meaningful, is so rewarded. The greatest schar in the world for one word of Torah the Goyin brings, a person gets the schar for Taryag Mitzvahs. Imagine that. One word of learning, he gets the schar for Taryag Mitzvahs. What? Huh? 613, all the mitzvahs. Why? It's schar for, what?
Why?
I assume why. I don't know for sure. But I would assume that the reason is because in every word of learning, I meshabed myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And since I meshabed myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so in other words, right now I have, by learning this word and the commitment I have, I learn Almanas Lasoy, so even though one word it's hard to do a Lasoy in one word, but it's part of a greater Lasoy. But now I meshabed myself. Whatever that word means, I meshabed myself to it. So that represents, I meshabed myself to Hashem. Whatever Hashem, if I meshabed to Hashem in everything, so that's the Schar for Tariq Mitzvah.
Even if I'm not, I'll still get it.
What?
Even if I'm not, I'll still get it.
Well, I imagine learning.
So you're not really thinking about that. You're just not really feeling it.
Well, I don't know. I do know that in Teresh Baal Peh, the gather of the mitzvah of Teresh Baal Peh is understanding. So you have to understand. But if you understand, I don't know if once you understand. So then that the understanding brings the shibud. It's mashma from many places that in Ruchnius, if we understand, then everything is almost automatic. The whole trick is to understand. But the depths of understanding, the Alta has a whole shmuz at the beginning of the Rat Sofon in Bereshis, about how understanding Hashem's midas is almost like the ultimate internalization. Because a depth of understanding with the picture of what it represents, with everything, as you mentioned yesterday a little bit, that internalizes. That's like the scene and the movies with the music, with everything that's represented. It gets into my heart. So that, you know, exactly to what level, but that's the so.
Is that why writing the Torah is like the greatest mitzvah? Because you're writing all the mitzvahs, so you're claiming.
Maybe I don't know if the greatest mitzvah, but that's certainly what you're doing. You're right. It's a mitzvah each person should do it himself, so that he it makes it more real. It's more, I'm more connected to it. That's probably true.